Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Mateo, California, Georgia, Canada, and of course, Dallas. Our showtime from Tennessee is in Dallas today, guys. We're coming at you, guys, what was touted as the biggest card in UFC history, McGregor versus Alvarez, or should I say Alvarez versus McGregor. It doesn't make a difference because it was the Mystic Mac. I see these tings. 13. I see these tings, gentlemen. Yeah. Let's go up north, actually. You know what? Let's start. Guys, I'm here. I am crickets. Hang on. The crickets. I forgot your walkout music. Thank you. All right, guys. We go to the man that has more cufflinks than the notorious Conor McGregor, the one and only Dean from Georgia.
Gentlemen, what's going on? How you doing?
Good volume. Damn good volume there. How about that? And then we go to the man that does not need to be on the water challenge because he's always on the water challenge. Proteus.
Good morning, DJ Tony.
Look at that. How about that? Showtime and I are almost half asleep, and here you guys are with all the energy. You know what I need, guys? By the way, this hour is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. No, it's not. It's actually, we're on the Radio Shack hotline right now. Let's go to the man that's not in his normal state. Showtime from Tennessee via Dallas.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, I like, dude. Tell me that is not the best intro. You know what? You might. I thought I had the best intro. You might have it. I also like Dean's. Dean. What's your intro that when you call in? Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes. Yeah. Just say good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
It's the way you say it.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Gentlemen, let's get into it. UFC 205, Alvarez versus McGregor, guys, at the one and only Madison Square Garden in New York City, New York. Total attendance over 20,000, and of course, total gate over 17 million. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a generic question, and then we're going to go into every single fight on the main card, and maybe actually we'll go into one or two outside if time permits. But let's get into it. Dean, Alvarez versus McGregor, not the fight, but the total card, UFC 205. Did this indeed live up to your expectations?
I mean, we had two fights fall off that were basically a main card and their prelim fight, and didn't even skip a beat. And it's kind of a good thing for Proteus because 206 was lacking, and now they got two strong fights. But you had the controversy with the decision, not say controversy, but the drama with the majority draw decision. You had history was made with Conor McGregor. You had Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, challenged kind of like almost for like the first time, so you got to see her, you know, her champion spirit had come out. You know, she got hurt. You had a devastating knockout, a very weird post-fight, speech, but that's Yoel. And but you know, the undercard delivered. You had Habib that looked dominant. You know, it's a really strong case on who's going to be next. But my boy Frankie Edgar, my favorite fighter, won. So to me, it was a great day of fights, great night of fights.
We're gonna go to the man in Dallas today, the man who brings the time in the show into time, and the man who once ran a 4.42 on grass, Showtime. What did 205 live up to your expectations?
Yes, I mean that's pretty hard to do. You know, I that was the thing that I was hoping most, that we didn't set the bar so high and then we'd be let down and everybody call in saying that, you know, the car was overhyped. But it was, you know what, it was drama filled too. You know, you had some knockouts, you had some, you know, some decisions. I mean, you kind of got a little bit of everything, man. And I agree with what you said previous, with the Cowboy fight being off the card. That helped strengthen another card that when they first made it was kind of, that's a great card now. So we're gonna be saying this, I think, the next couple of weeks, that the UFC has done a good job of putting these cards together.
Way to go. Let's go up to the man up north, the man who's always walking around with the 8x10 glossy of GSP, Proteus.
Yeah, guys, I agree. The card lived up to my expectations, but the one thing that was disappointing, obviously, is how much better would it have been with Donald Cerrone, right? And yes, I appreciate you guys looking out for me up here with 206, but I would have loved to have seen that Donald Cerrone put on another performance like we saw on his last outing, just to add to what we had seen on the night. It lived up to my expectations, but I would have really, really liked to have seen that fight. And plus, I also would have liked to have seen the return of Tim Kennedy. This is the largest stage for these fighters. They'd be exposed to new fans, to the New York market. So it lived up to it, but there were some downfalls. But overall, good night.
All right, guys, let's get into the card. I'm going to save McGregor Alvarez for almost the last topic. The reason why is because we can go in so many directions with that. But let's talk about one thing off the main card. The main card, prelims only. Which fight stood out to you the most last night? Let's go with Showtime.
Ooh, that's hard. You know what? I made a prediction earlier in the week that the ladies' fight would be the best fights of the card. When we had Clearwater and Marco on, I think I made that was going to be one of the best fights. And I think that didn't disappoint. So I'm going to stick with the ladies because that's what I said first. I said they would fight for five rounds, and that's what they did. They gave you five rounds of action. So the ladies' fight.
Prados.
I agree. That was the one thing, not even just for the main card women's fight, but throughout the evening, the one thing I said to my wife was, like, these women's fights are awesome. And as 90% of the time, the women's fights do pay off. And yeah, I agree with Showtime. All the ladies, especially the two in the main event, who, geez, man, if those two girls recover within the next week or so, I mean, I don't think Joanna and Jacek's going to look like herself for a couple of weeks. Good fight.
Dean, best fight not in the main card.
Yeah, they both announced the fight that was in the main card. I was confused by the question.
Sorry, so the best fights, what fights stood out to you that was not on the main card?
Yeah, and they both mentioned fights that were in the main card. Damn, people.
It was a long night.
Stun gun them. So in the prelim, before 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, there were some really good fights.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go with Captain Obvious. I think Frankie rebounded from his loss, so definitely put himself in the back in the title picture. But that's a personal one for me. I liked a question to Khabib. I like that Johnson, you know, they're going to say what he calls going to ragdoll, you know, if Khabib fights. I think, like, his question, because Johnson had Khabib stunned at first, you know, and it you were able to see Habib's chin. You were able to see that he does definitely need a lot of work on his stand-up, but one thing is clear, if that guy gets you in a clinch and gets you to the ground, it is a nightmare. That, you know, that reassured me, like, where he stands. You know, he is the elite grappler, but potential matchups in the future, I could see, I think Tony Ferguson could beat Habib. I think Tony could mess with him a little bit on the ground, and he's tricky, and he'd be able to at least get up, and I think he would light him up on the feet. So I would, if they tried to do, give Conor a break and make it like a number one contender fight, although they both deserve a shot at the title, that was like clear to me. It kind of like painted the picture, like who's going to be next for Conor and the interesting aspects. And, you know, the other ones, I think, Vincent Luque, he surprised me too. He surprised me in the prelim. He looked really, really good. His striking was sharp. And I thought, I wasn't too impressed with him earlier, maybe because of the show and the, you know, he looked great. So those were the kind of like the couple of fights in the prelims that stood out to me, or performances that stood out for me.
I totally agree with Dean. Go ahead, bro.
In our defense, real quick, Tony, before you move on. In our defense, we did say that all of the ladies' fights came through that night, not just the one on the main event. So we were referring to the one in the prelims. And I'm going to say the Carmouche fight was a really, really good one. Carmouche really impressed me in this fight, Tony. Sorry about that.
Excuse me, bitch.
All right. let's for me, I got to agree with Dean. Habib, to me, man, what do you have, a 2-year layoff? Or, I mean, and then he fought a nobody. I mean, Habib to me is one. If I'm in a lightweight division, I want nothing to do with Habib. That's for darn sure. Let's go into it, Proteus. Let's go into, we're going to save Misha towards the end because allegedly she retires. Man, what a miss. But let's go into controversy, guys. Y'all don't call me controversy. Romero defeated Chris Weidman. Prados, thoughts?
Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet this morning when I woke up, and I can't remember who authored it, but they said they wanted to know whether or not Weidman was actually still alive, because we hadn't heard anything from him or anything like that. So yeah, knocked him pretty much dead, didn't he, guys? Like, an impressive showing by Romero. Obviously, he's going to be the number one contender. Don't get me started on whatever kind of crap they were trying to do with that whole Michael Bisping, Joel Romero thing. I mean, they're in the same building. He's looking up into the rafters. Michael Bisping's giving him a finger. What's going on here, guys? What a mess.
Dean.
Yep.
Thoughts on Romero Weidman?
His athleticism, his explosive power. I called Weidman. I mean, Weidman looked good in the first round, and
he did.
I mentioned that, you know, I predicted Weidman. I thought that Weidman's MMA wrestling, and that, you know, the suspect of Romero on a few fights, and I wasn't sold on him. The only thing I did mention that his explosive power, and that was evident with that knee and, you know, him dropping bombs on him. It kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere, because at the end of that first round, he looked like he was fading. And then he just got like that little extra win, maybe that couple of little extra seconds with the whole water thing. I mean, I'm not trying to throw any kind of controversy out there, but just explosiveness. Very, very scary. And just considering the guy's like in his late 30s, near 40s, just, you know, kind of like what he would have accomplished as, you know, if he would have started MMA earlier. But that was very, very impressive with his explosive power and his offensive, that devastated knee. And just, you know, he was bleeding like a faucet. You know, Weidman. So it was impressive. It was very impressive. I mean, I was at a local pizzeria, and as soon as that happened, everyone was like, it was kind of quiet, and then that happened, and everyone like was just like, whoa, like screaming. So
showtime.
That's what happened.
Well, it played out pretty much, you know, you guys know I took Romero. I picked him. So, I mean, I kind of equate him to being like a predator. He just lays and waits on the moment just to pounce on his prey because he's so explosive. And all it takes is one punch, one kick. You know what? I think also when he started doing that liver kick, I think that was he hurt Weidman with that liver kick a couple times too during the fight. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty dangerous weapon that he has. But I will say this, though. Biz being shot in the bird, so you can't run now. I love Biz being. You can't run now. You gotta come, you know, you gotta face this beast, and it's gonna be very interesting if we get that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, I have to ask you this, though. Yoel Romero, to me, is one of the strangest fighters out there. I don't know what it is. Did you guys think, I mean, here we go, Watergate again, and just the whole marching thing. I don't know, maybe it was because I was watching Tim Kennedy's Hunting Hitler, but I thought the whole marching thing, the whole, again, with the Watergate, I thought it was really strange. Did you not see it that way, Showtime? Because I thought the whole thing was weird.
I mean, what are you referring to? Him drinking water?
The marching?
What are you referring to?
Well, him spilling water all over himself. Again, like Dean was saying, possibly buying more time. Mm-hmm. That's unusual, right? I mean, he's spilling water all over his body.
Yeah. I saw that. I really, I don't know. I didn't really make much of that. I mean, hell, it didn't take but a second, if you know, for them to wipe it off. So I don't really think it was nothing. I don't think that played a role in that fight. He hit that guy with something. He put his lights out. And mm-hmm. I felt sorry for Weidman because I love him because he's a class guy. So, you know, what we need to be saying is where is Weidman? What fight are they going to make for him next? I mean,
That's interesting, Proteus, because two straight losses for the All-American, and he did have a neck issue. And like Showtime was saying, boy, that knee just came out of nowhere. But then Romero lands on Weidman's body. Weidman's head also goes into his own knee, and the weight of Romero was on that neck, Proteus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But before we jump too far ahead, like let's talk about Weidman and how you guys are saying what's next. Like, he did look improved. His kickboxing, you could tell he'd been working on that. You know what I mean? Like with the Wonder Man, definitely. Definitely looking improved with the feet. Romero is strange. Not only is he strange, but his interpreter is very strange also. that fella was a strange fella. And what's next for Weidman? I don't know what's next for Weidman, man. I mean,
could I chime in?
Not, sure, go right
ahead.
Oh,
yeah, you're next. Yeah.
No, because you said you didn't know what's next for him. The only reason exactly. He had a very improved striking. He looked great in the first round. He was ranked number two, so he can't go too far. If you want to stick with the losers, there's two pivotal. Technically, there's three pivotal middleweight matches coming up with the Gegard Hall. You have Brunson and Whitaker, and then even the Rashad and Tim Kennedy, and that's probably one of the ones that I would probably like to see. I like to see him mix it up because he is a kind of a big middleweight, and you know, with Rashad possibly coming down, or the whole America versus Tim Kennedy, that'd be a fun fight. So, I mean, I think with those three possible matchups is the only direction. If you want to stick with loser, give him one of those guys, you know, out of those three matches.
Guys, let's move up to what both Showtime and Proteus were talking about. The women really just stepping up in more ways than one. Shout out to Chukwugian. But let's go into JJ versus KK. I'll tell you, I said this from the beginning, guys. I thought there was something special about this, this Polish little princess that seems to give that little wink. And I don't know if that's maybe a Polish thing because Joanna does that too. But KK looked really impressive. Allegedly, standing ovation for her. She got received a bigger pop than JJ after the fight, and she rocked JJ to me like she's never been rocked before. Let's go into this Showtime. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
I mean, it lived up to basically what I thought it would live up to. But I will say this, though. JJ dominated that fight. I mean, pretty much it wasn't. She got hurt at one point in that fight. She got hurt. But other than that, she dominated that fight. But you know what I think? I think that's so personal for JJ. I think that the Polish people may just like Cassie no more. I think that's just kind of how that plays out. I noticed that, too, at the end of that fight with the ovation that she got. So, you know, sometimes you can't win everybody over. And I think that's kind of what JJ is going through right now, you know, dealing with her Polish people and, you know, going against Carolina. She's just a more popular fighter over there. But it didn't disappoint, though. I loved it. And then I'm wondering if we'll get a rematch of that. What you guys think? You know, Dana loves to, you know, like to run stuff back. I'm just wondering what's next for both of them as well.
I totally agree. I think a rematch is necessary.
I agree with you guys. I mean, we were saying earlier on this fight delivered, man. And I agree with Showtime. Joanna definitely did dominate this fight, but I think the reason that Carolina got such a big pop is she was just eating those shots from JJ and coming forward still, right? I mean, Joanna was blowing up that lead leg like crazy. She was doing that, I think it was a 1-2, and then on the way out, she was doing that like a low leg kick just above or below the knee, which was super effective because as she's rolling to move out of the way of Carolina, she's right in the range of that leg. I thought it was super impressive. Also, it was impressive with Carolina coming on hard in the fourth and the fifth, man. Like she had her hurt. She could have finished that fight. Didn't end up happening that way. And yeah, sure, man, why not run it back? Do it in Poland this time. Take advantage of the fact that you got two Polish fighters. Main card, maybe even the featured bout on the main event on that card. I think that would sell like hotcakes, especially in Poland. Did I just say hotcakes?
You did.
Yikes.
I think if that fight goes to Poland, what would you have? That would definitely be the main event. Dana White was referring to, I think he's thinking about Claudia versus Carolina. I guess giving Joanna a little bit of a break, maybe because she probably has a broken nose and a bunch of other things. Yeah. But they read in the report, which I love that match too, but we'll see how strong Carolina's takedown defense is, because I think Claudia could, you know, potentially find a path to victory with Carolina through some good grappling and getting her down. Like Joanna was very evident that she worked on her takedown defense and she was able to stuff some of Claudia's takedown attempts, but I think that's the direction that they're going to go. And I love that match too, but I agree. This with Proteus, that, you know, you definitely in the near future, especially if they do make that match between Carolina and Claudia, if she comes out the victor, that you have to make that match in Poland, and it'll have to be probably the main event. I don't know what else you could put on top of that. That makes sense.
Did what was a new star, gentlemen? Was a new star now grown the way Carolina, just first off, her appearance is spectacular. Her English is better than I thought. But the way her demeanor, the way she leans up against that cage, gentlemen, just like a Mac, just relaxing, not even in between rounds, you know, with her legs crossed up against that fence and just the little wink. The fact that she received such a huge pop in New York, you know, Dean, did we just see a star?
Oh, I think, she's definitely a star in the making. You know, that strawweight division's, you know, from the very beginning, it's been, I think it's the best division in the women's mixed martial arts in the UFC. But she, I've watched her previous fights, and I was able to watch her live in Atlanta, and just her counter strike, and she's so poised and, like you said, calm. It doesn't seem like she's getting rattled, or, you know, she don't fight with too much emotion. It's just more of, she's solid technique. Her skills and technique is what's carrying her, and she's just improving over time. You know, she's only been pro for a couple of years. She has a very extensive amateur background, but yeah, I think if they mock it her right, you know, I think her, if they do the Claudia fight, I think that's a big fight for her. So you don't want her to lose again, because then she won't be a star in the making. But
right.
If she could get a, if she gets her next bout, and if they don't go with the Claudia direction, I'd like to see her fight Joanne Calderwood. Honestly, I think
wow,
that'd be
that's a good one too.
That'd be a fun fight. I think I'd like to see against. One. Yeah, but no, I think it's a potential. You know, they're always working on stuff. You can't just from one fight, like, you know, most of the time you don't have a star, but I could definitely see her making a big impact with the right guidance inside the UFC. You know, a couple of the right matches, or her just pulling out a couple of, you know, nice victories on a couple of people, and she could be a star in the making.
Go ahead, Dean.
No, I just think if you have the two Poland fighters and you're going to pick one, I think Joanne is a little more marketable due to her trash talk and her aggressiveness. If you want to try to go with a looker and stuff, then Caroline is your girl over Joanna. But I think in a sense of trying to sell pay-per-views, I think Joanna's aggression and just her demeanor and it's just her fighting style. You know, even when she was fighting Carolina would throw one or two punches, and Joanne is just so active, and she was throwing 5-6 punches, and potentially always has that opportunity to really cause damage. If you look Carolina's fights, majority of them went decision. You know, without her having that killer instinct, she's not, you know, that could prevent her from being a star. Joanna has that killer instinct, and to the casual fans that probably doesn't watch women's MMA, her having that killer instinct, finishing people and making, you know, girls like a bloody mess, like Jessica Penne, like that's going to generate that casual fan coming in and making them want to watch her. And I mean, so that's my view.
Showtime. Does Carolina have the makings of a star?
Yeah. I think a star was born last night. I mean, really, you know, with the marketing her, because it's a whole lot of things you can do with her by UFC, by the new owners, you know, having the connections, and they know how to market her. See, that's the thing about that, that may benefit some of the fighters now. If they see somebody that's a star, they have people that's what they do, is represent people, you know, and let her know what shoots to be in, or, you know, what commercials to be in. So I think a star was born. And I'm going to tell you this, though. I think that she, Claudia, just like Joanna beat her because she don't get tired. Claudia would tire in that fight. And she would beat her, you know. She pretty much had non-stop marching for, I'll eat one, but I'm coming. I'm still coming. And that's amazing of her to have that type of will and aggressiveness. You know, you see some fighters, man, coming forward, and once they get hit in the third or fourth round, they're backing up now. They're not coming forward like that. She came forward the whole fight. I mean, it was amazing. Even when she came forward and they got against the cage, and I already knew, I was sitting there telling her, and I said, when she's going to throw that elbow as she exits out the clinch. I mean, and she ate some elbows. And her face, I mean, she took some punishment now. Joanna just short warred a little bit more, but she took some punishment too last night. And that's one tough girl.
Go ahead, Proteus.
I said I wouldn't want to be walking around on Carolina's legs today, because, man, they got eaten up. Ooh. And just to answer your question, brother, of course she's a star. She had me last on her last fight on the embedded when she wore that pink little pink dress. Yeah, she had me that. So.
All right, gentlemen, let's go up to the welterweight. We go, T Wood. versus Thompson. And I know a lot of people on Twitter were saying it's a draw. To me, honestly, I had T. Wood edging it out with, to me, what was a 10-8 round. So it was a little unusual for me. Proteus, what did you have?
Okay, to be honest with you, at this point in time, I was on daddy daycare duty, and I missed a couple of the rounds. But I when it came back, when I came back downstairs to in front of the TV, I had seen the result. And to be honest with you, it was a little surprising to me to hear the draw, because in the first couple of rounds that I watched, I thought that Tyrone was doing enough. You know what I mean? He was really taking the Wonder Man out of his element, getting him to the floor. Sure, the Wonder Man was getting up from the pressure. But like I said, really weird to see a draw. And as we were talking about earlier on, Tony, before we got on the air, why not run it back again, man? If it was an exciting fight from what I saw, and dudes, I'd like to see it again. And that's the only good thing about having a draw in this fight, I think. We get to see it again.
Good point, Dean.
I agree with Proteus. I mean, it was really close. I could have seen the score going either like 48-47 for T-Wood, or, you know, it being a draw. I'm not mad with the decision. I am excited about seeing the rematch. The only loser in this situation is Damian Maia.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yep, I mean, he's the guy that gets the short end of the stick, you know, and what's he going to do? He's up there in his career. Does he sit out? No, if he sits out, that's a long time being on sitting on the pine waiting for a fight. And, you know, it's been proven over time that by staying active, you know, it's that little stuff inside the actual cage when it's fight time that he may miss, but because he hasn't took much damage. So I think it's great. I hope they do it again. I don't necessarily want to see it. You know, Wonder Boy was saying, let's do it again, Madison Square Garden. They're not going to go to Madison Square Garden for a little bit of time. I don't want to see that. Make it at one of the big cards, maybe like the Super Bowl card. You know, I think that would be a good spot for it. Gives them a couple of months off. Gives them a chance, the opportunity to heal. But definitely, you know, when it is a draw, it's almost like you have to do it again, you know, especially with him being a champion. It was one fight of the night, everything. It wasn't like it was a boring fight and then it was like, oh, it's a draw. No, it was a tight, tight fight. A lot of action, back and forth. You know, I think I agreed with the post-fight analysis that Brian Stann said. He said that, you know, who has gained the most from this fight when they do the second fight? And I think he was saying that, you know, who can make the most improvements, who gained the most knowledge. And he said it was T-Wood, because where Wonder Boy struggles because, like, the first round, T-Wood was so dominant, and, you know, he was so strong. He realized that he should have probably took him down maybe once or twice throughout the fight, you know, a few more attempts. But where he's short is getting back to his feet, you know, still working on against the elite wrestler for his takedown defense. And the amount of differences that T-Wood has to create, you know, or work on compared to the area that Wonder Boy can work on, should be easier for T-Wood to make up for the differences or things where they're lacking on it, to get stronger, to provide a better performance. So,
Showtime, what did you see? T-Wood Thompson.
I had Woodley winning it. I mean, I didn't see it being a draw. I mean, when I was kind of disappointed in that. I lost money, actually. I forgot I would have won another parlay at that fight if I would have won that fight. So I really couldn't – I don't know. I thought it was a 10-8 round. I mean, when Woodley basically had him on the ground and had him – and you know what's interesting too, man? Some people would have stopped that fight, man. I thought that, you know,
I agree with
the ref gave it – I mean, you know, he gave him
all the leeway in the world with letting that fight continue, because some people would have stopped that fight, you know. And Whitley actually looked up like, damn, you're not going to stop this? You know, he looked up for a time or two. So, I mean, that should have been a 10-8 round, if anything. A 10-8 round. I mean, so I'm kind of disappointed on that.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. I want to ask you this because Showtime brought this up, and I was thinking about this yesterday too. So tell me if I'm way off base. And honestly, let me have it if I'm way off base. Hold on. Let me start playing the conspiracy music before we get Lerone in here. But so tell me if I'm way off base, guys, all right? But this is what I think. I think just like certain things, whether it's the NFL, NBA, or whatever, I think sometimes certain entities want certain people to win. In this case, I thought there was a bias towards Wonderboy. Am I wrong here, guys? Because I agree with Showtime. I think that fight should have been stopped.
Yeah. Well, we did have Doug Crosby on reffing again or judging at this event, and you know, something crazy always happens when he's on the dais judging. So I don't know, man. I feel that way a lot above a lot of fighters, that, you know, the UFC wants a certain guy to win, and maybe the commission goes that way. But again, it's all just speculation and propaganda that we're trying to spit here, Tony. So I'll get off the soapbox.
Gentlemen, let's bring in the one and only the man who was at Madison Square Garden. Not only was he there to witness all the weigh-ins, etc., but he was actually sitting there watching the event live at MSG. Lerone, welcome to the show.
New York, New York, big city of dreams. Big city of dreams ain't always what it seems. What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hang Lerone. On. You know what? We didn't do the proper intro. Hang on.
There it is.
There we go. New York State of Mind. There we go. Mic check 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
That's it.
There we go.
What's going on, y'all? What were your thoughts? Go ahead, Shota.
Quick question for Tony. I got a quick question for Lerone. Lerone, was your suit worth what you paid for it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it wasn't. I felt it should have been around $200-$300, man. Just for the simple fact that I sat on the floor at, you know, another event and spent four and change to sit on the floor. But I felt like I got, like, I got my, I don't want to say I got my money's worth, man, but I enjoyed myself, man. It wasn't like the card delivered. And it was electrifying to be in there, man. It was worth being a part of history, you know? So it was worth it, but I thought it should have been a little bit cheaper for my seat, but I had a good view of the fight for sure.
Lerone, how did you score Woodley Thompson?
Oh man, great. Yeah, let me talk about that. I'm glad I called right in when you guys were talking about that. I'm gonna say 50-47 Woodley. I think it was a pretty good fight, man. I clearly couldn't see Wonderboy winning no round except for the fifth round. Every other round, I mean, you know, Woodley dominated him in the first. And the other rounds, man, it was kind of not close. I mean, he didn't run through Woodley, but it, you know, it was a lot of back and forth. But you know, with some takedowns and some shots and stuff like that, he seemed like he led the path in the fight, but he looked like he was out of it in the fifth. So it was crazy, man, because everybody was blown. Let me tell you guys another story. You guys wouldn't have seen, you know, if he wasn't there live. Buffalo was outside of the ring, and he was talking. You know when he says you know, when he rounds up, you know, the two fighters. I don't know if he went into the ring and came back out or if he was already out, but I know he was outside the ring. He had the microphone down and he was talking. He didn't realize that it was, I guess, close enough to his mouth to where you could hear it. He said, oh, and still. He said, oh, and still, when the microphone was kind of like, you know, down by his waist as he was walking to the cage. Because it was just like, it was weird. It was like a pause for a second. And this is before you see what happened in the cage. And he said, oh, and still. I guess because, you know, he's a fan too. So, you know, when he sees these things, like where there have been fights where there have been robberies. And I've seen his Buffer's face where he looks at the damn card and he just was like, oh, like what? but he has to call it what it is. It's not, you know, he can't contest it or nothing like that. So he said that he came into the ring, and then, you know, he got awarded the fight, and they said, hold up. And then, oh man, that place erupted. But everybody loved Wonderboy. They were booing the fuck out. And I understand if you have your preference on who you like. And it's like, what the fuck do Woodley got to do, man, for people to like him? And I mean, if you don't like him as a fighter, but as a person, it's just like, he's done nothing wrong. Like, it's like hatred. I don't know if it's like a racial thing, but fuck, man, everybody in there hated Woodley, man. Oh my God, it was horrible, man. They were booing, like, it was a few chairs, but they was booing him hard. And then when they called for hold up, when Buffalo's, you know, I got to make a correction. It was the same score, but it was a draw instead of a split. Even when they called split decision, I was like, that's bullshit. And it was funny because people that were pro Wonderboy, being unbiased, said, nah, literally got that. And these were Wonderboy fans that were just cheering. I mean, fuck it. They were cheering Wonderboy like they were cheering Connor. You know, he got the look. You got to like Wonderboy too, man. He's a great guy. I like Wonderboy. I actually like him a lot as a fighter, as a person. He got that face. He'll be a good staple in the sport, man, to actually be a champion. And for sure, in the near future, I could see him being a champion for sure. But they were booing the fuck out of Woodley. It was hard. And then when Buffer called for it, people were cheering when they thought they was going to take the belt off. Remember when, I want to say Mergliato or Big John, it was one of them, pulled him. And he was like, and Woodley was looking like, huh? People were cheering like a motherfucker because they thought when the boy was going to get the belt, man. It was crazy, man. But, yeah, I had it 50-47, 4 rounds to 1, Woodley.
Yeah, I concur. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen, before we close the book on T-Wood and Thompson? Any thoughts on that?
Maybe they dislike him because of his shitty performance as part of the lynch mob and Straight out of Compton.
Wow.
Right. That was a good one. That was a good jab right there.
Showtime, what say you about this? Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree. You couldn't have said it any better, man. I agree. I may have had one department in one round as well, so I guess that's why we not judging. But I didn't see any way that should have been a majority draw. I'm disappointed in that as well.
Right.
Yeah. Me too. I totally agree with Lerone on that one. I think I don't know, guys. It left a bad taste, but you know what? It was a good fight. Shout out to Wonderboy. He seems to be, by all accounts, a good man. And T-Wood. For literally being a professional and just, I don't know what I would have done, guys. I wouldn't have behaved like Conor McGregor, though. I will say that. So let's move up to it, guys. Actually, you know what? Before we go up to this, because we're going to spend some time on McGregor Alvarez, let's talk about, to me, what was the biggest takeaway for me. Well, maybe not, because perhaps I'd already seen it in her last fight. But Miesha Tate, guys, retiring. Raquel Pennington versus Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate certainly didn't look like herself in her last two fights. I mean, let's just face it, her fight IQ isn't that of her normal IQ. That's for sure, because she's a smart girl, but she fights like me, like an idiot. Let's go into this. You know, Lerone, were you surprised by this Tate retirement and the way she fought?
Yeah, everybody in there was like, wow, it was a big pop, man. Everybody was pretty shocked. And she didn't look her best, man. And in the previous show, you also said she was going through something in her relationship. So, you know, there's women's emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, she'd been a staple of women's MMA for a while. I could believe it, man. I could kind of believe it. And she already, you know, she fought in 200. Crazy to believe, headlined, you know, with, you know, the drop off. She headlined 200, the biggest card ever, and she was a champion. She didn't get to defend. I mean, she didn't, you know, retain her title after a title defense. But, you know, she kind of, you know, she climbed the top of the mountain, basically, and she reached it fair and square. It wasn't no, you know, no gimme fight or whatever. And, you know, I could see her just, you know, backing out and probably just training and stuff like that, and, you know, getting to, like, maybe some modeling and acting and some other things. I mean, I could believe it, man. I mean, in her last, I can't remember who she fought last. She didn't look that bad, but she wasn't that great also, you know? So who knows, man? And, you know, there might be something going on in her life personally too, man. I say, if you can't be in the sport, man, and give it your all, then it's time for you to get out, you know?
Showtime, what were your thoughts on Cupcake doing her impromptu retirement after a lackluster performance?
I was hearing, too, that her and Caraway were having issues, you know, so I was wondering if that may have been why she just didn't look herself. I mean, I don't know. I hate to see her walk away, but fighting is not like playing golf or playing something else. If your mind is not in it, you'll get hurt. So the good thing about it is she can walk away. People change their mind. She can walk away. She may be away from it, you know, for a year or two and have that itch, you know, to get back in there. So we'll see. But if not, she's been nothing but class the whole time. So she can walk away with her head held high and, you know, not have any regrets. So I think that she may have not wait to see the fight run. I think
I actually heard Caraway came home and seen a picture of Showtime with Misha Tate. He said, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Do you have a picture?
Yes.
Do you have a picture with Misha Tate?
Man, oh, boot up and everything, man. She put on a Fendi dust for him and everything. And yeah, you have Showtime to thank for her and her career and her relationship. You know, that animal over there.
Lucky man. Dean?
She smelled sweet. No doubt. Right. Like cupcakes?
You got to show him that picture, man. You got to show him that picture.
I am so envious, Showtime. Good Lord. Dean, I don't even know what to say. Dean, thoughts on the lovely Cupcake, my favorite fighter in the whole wide world, giving it up? Well, hold on. I should take that back. Where's the record scratch? Go ahead.
So I have a couple of things. I also want to make a comment about Rocky as well. But as far as for Cupcake, you know, like Showtime said it, this sport is not like any other sport. If your mind's not right into it, you know, maybe she needs to take a sabbatical and take some time away. But she said the right things, though. She left an opening if she ever wants to come back. You know, it may be a short-term retirement. She was like, I love this sport, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, maybe going back, whatever, you know, personal problems she's having or potentially medical problems, let her heal up and let her get that fuel back. But she was saying all the right things. And she has nothing but, you know, to hold her head up high. She was a Strikeforce champion, you know, a pioneer, UFC champion. You know, and she's still young, so she has, you know, she could be an analyst. She could do a bunch of things. I just think she definitely needs to still stay in the sport and try to, you know, try to probably like live her life. Maybe she wants to start a family, you know, maybe she wants to go that route. But she did say the right thing, so there kind of did leave a window of opening if she does want to come back. Now I want to say with Raquel Pennington, she's living on cloud nine. She won, she beat her champion, and she's dating Tisha Torres. Fuck, she is the woman, okay? She's dating Tisha Torres, and she just beat her previous coach, a top-ranked fighter, so it's going to put her well up in the rank. So, but I think I'd be more excited about dating Tisha Torres than beating Misha Tate, but that's just me.
I'm going to echo a lot of what you all have just said. First off, it did take me by surprise. She didn't really say anything leading up that would make you feel like this might be her last one, like Ronda Rousey did. But at the end of the first round, it was like, okay, Misha's done. You know, I actually turned to my wife and said, okay, she's done. I mean, she's not there. She's not feeling it. The performance was really lackluster. Even though my wife did mention how good she looked in her top, which I agreed with, of course. But I said to her, just like Dean was saying, and like we said on Thursday when we were talking about Ronda Rousey, if you can make money, if you're a woman, such as Misha Tate or Ronda Rousey, that has a good look, you're very popular. I mean, Misha Tate has a lot of followers on Twitter, and we all know why. If she can make money elsewhere and not have her face exploded again, because if you guys rewind the tape and take a look at that nose, it did not look healthy again after this fight. There was a very dark ring around the bottom part of her nose, which I was very concerned about. Yes, and Dean, she did say all the right things. She did go out and say, you know, and maybe she just does need a break. Maybe she's GSP and she's, you know, in her dark place and she's seeing aliens. Who knows? But I have no problem with her stepping out, you know, like you guys have been saying. She was an icon for a while. She fought for women's MMA. She was the loudest voice against Ronda Rousey when she came into the UFC and then giving her the belt. Sad to see her go, but again, we may see her again. And good luck to her because she can make money elsewhere without getting punched in the face.
Guys, another person we're going to be sad to see them go because he's got to probably catch a flight is Lerone. So let's go into this one, guys. The reason why we all really, well, I'm sure there were $59.95 reasons that we paid for this fight. But McGregor versus Alvarez, guys, to me, I wish I had the drop. Surprise, surprise, but it's not a surprise to me. I called it from the beginning, when they first announced this fight. And as the great Nate Diaz once told us,
"Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers."
I don't think that McGregor loses anyone, and he even said it to anyone that's that small. Lerone, thoughts, McGregor, Alvarez.
Oh, man, first off, just the walkout was electric. Let me tell you, this is my sixth live event. I've never been to an event, any other fighter in the main event, everybody fucking stood on their feet. I'm not talking about, you know, when you're sitting, you know, kind of cage side. You know, you see people like, you know, right there, you know, they're close, right close by the action. And they're on their feet a little bit or they jump up every time, you know. Nah, right after that Woodley fight and, you know, the promo dropped and then, you know, Conor was coming up first. And, you know, it was the Irish music was playing first. And then that 50 Cent I Get Money drop. Oh, man, everybody went fucking nuts, man. Everybody was on their feet. Everybody had their phones out. It was surreal, kind of, man, because, like I said, I've been to other events. Two where John Jones was on the card. You know, he's, you know, a big name. Ain't nobody stood on their feet, you know, until the actual fight. But, you know, the whole time, from the walkout until it was done, everybody was on their feet. He came up to 50 Cent. I Get Money. I don't know if you guys really listen to the lyrics. The majority of the lyrics was basically saying, like, you know, I couldn't do good. Now I can't do bad. And I'm getting money. And I take you to the bank. And, you know, who the hell cares? And it was just like, it was so, like, fitting for, you know, his lavish lifestyle now. Just but 3 years ago, he was on, you know, a public assistance of welfare. Now he can't do but great. And, I mean, he went out there and It was surreal, man. And I just, like, I felt that walkout, man. Out of all the walkouts, man, who had the best walkout? The Menace came out to New York City, Cameron and Jay-Z, and it just thumped in Madison Square Garden. That shit made my night. Weidman's walkout was great. Coming Home, and then another New York song, then came out to that, I think it was a Tom Petty song he came out to. But, yeah, when he came out, then he walked, you know, into the ring, and he fucking did the Vince McMahon billionaire strut, you know, just kind of extra. I know a lot of people don't like that or whatever. I think a little bit of this is kind of excessive, but it was just, you know, he just was, he owned the night, man. He fucking owned the night. And he went out there and he did his thing. And then, what's his name, came out to Victory by Busta Rhymes and Biggie. And that was a great, you know, that was a great walkout. And it was like, as soon as the fight started, I think the chance, it was horrible, man. Connor, and you know, that shit. It was the whole time. It was ridiculous, man. It was just ridiculous the whole time. And it was like anytime it seemed like where he almost caught momentum, Alvarez, which he didn't, they chanted, and I think that should ate him up. Because look at any of his other fights. You could tell, and this is not me, even though I picked him, and I like Conor, and I'm a very unbiased person, we could all sit here and say that the jitters got to him. He don't fight like that. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that if, you know, he played his A game and it didn't, and the mind games didn't get to him, that he would have beat Conor. He could have probably still lost. Who knows? But he was so out of it, man. And he just seemed so weak, man. Like, you know, he's a wrestler, man. He couldn't take Conor down or nothing, man. Like, he probably had an adrenaline dump, the pressure. After the fight, he said he couldn't hear his corner. Whatever game plan he had, he said he didn't do it. He said it was just like a rookie mistake. So he was completely out of it. And Conor was in there just having fun, man. He was in there taunting him, hands behind the back. And I don't like the showboat, but it was just like, he just owned it so much. It was just like, fucking do something. I'm in here whooping your ass. You know? It was beautiful, man. I loved it, man. It was amazing, man. And he deserves it, man. Like it or not, man. He went out there, he performed. And what I like about Conor, regardless of people dislike him or not, in victory and defeat, he's humble. He's humble of his opponent. He shows respect and a win or loss. And he came out on top, man. And, you know, I respect him for that. And I would like to see him fight Khabib next, man. And I think that would be different. I don't think, you know, he could barely speak English and understand half the crap talk he'll probably throw at Khabib anyway. So that would be a good match. I'd like to see what's next for them two. But that was basically my recap on the main event.
All right. Well, hey, Lerone, you said you got to run. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm still on vacation. It's my last day, man. I'm, you know, hanging out with family and stuff like that before I go. I'm packing my stuff and heading back to Maryland, you know. So I just wanted to call in and chop it up with you guys. You know, I had to. You know what I mean?
Well, Lerone, obviously you're part of Amp Radio. We appreciate it. And I there's a care gift package there for you when you get home, okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll hit you as soon as I go home and I get it, man. I appreciate you guys. Showtime, Dean, Proteus, and Tony, man. You guys enjoy your evening, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lerone.
All right, fellas. I'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Take care.
Peace.
Safe trip.
Let's go to the Showtime himself. Showtime. McGregor Alvarez. Floor is yours.
Where should I start? like, you know what? Like him or hate him, Conor's a bad man. I mean, he's kind of over the top with his all his cockiness and, you know, all the shenanigans that he does at his press conferences and all that. But shit, I mean, he's a bad man, and he you know what, he baited Eddie into fighting his fight, because that wasn't the fight that Eddie had planned to fight, just try to get in front of Conor and just, you know, we're gonna do a boxing match, you know. That wasn't going to work with that game plan. I thought he was going to shoot or at least threaten to take him down and be able to get his offense started and close that gap that way. But that particular night, Conor was the bigger man. I mean, he actually dwarfed over Eddie. So Eddie just didn't look himself, man. He was flat. I mean, weak. I mean, he looked feeble, you know. He basically looked like a lion hunting a sheep, you know, a little baby sheep. That's basically what he looked like, or a little baby goat or something. And he didn't look like himself, man. And I picked, you know, Eddie to win the fight. So I'll eat crow. I just won the bet because I knew the fight would go more than a round and a half. And actually, I won the bet, I think, on 2 seconds. So that's how I was basically sitting there on – you know, like somebody when they got a pee and they just sitting there shaking. That's how I was sitting there watching the fight, just hoping that the man would get out of that, you know, get past a round and a half with Conor. But I think we need to see. I mean, if Conor's going to go back down, I would love to see him fight Jose again. And, I know a lot of people probably don't want to see that fight, but that's one of the fights that I want to see, because when Jose is on point, he can handle Conor because he can hit that front leg and wear it out and make Conor change that stance, because Conor has that elongated stance where he's going to put that front leg out and he's going to hold that big hand. He's going to wait to counter strike on you. And I think Jose could pop that leg, you know, and make Conor change his game plan up. If I can't get that, I don't want to see him fight Diaz again. I don't want to see that. Not that. I don't want to see that. Give me Khabib. or give me El Kukui. Give me one of those guys. I don't want to see him fight Cowboy Cerrone or somebody. I mean, you know, because with the UFC, they'll create a matchup. You know, I don't want to see that. I want to see El Kukui. If I can't get him, I want to see him fight my Russian Sambo guy. And I think that'll be a hell of a fight. So that's my take on it, man. I was amazed. I was just like everybody else. I just sat there with my mouth open like, damn, that's all you can say.
Dean.
UFC 209, Diaz McGregor 3 in Oakland.
Uh-oh.
Like, what makes money, right? So think about if they tell him, if Dana is, before I get into the analysis, but if Dana is harsh to his words and he says he has to give up one, they were already saying that Conor was having, and he does look great at 155. And he's amazing at 145, but that weight cut was just so much for him. And, you know, if minus, say, that third rematch, yeah, Aldo, that's the big money fight. But the big, big money fight is Nate Diaz 3, because now Conor has a belt. Now there's so much more significance. They could sell this so much. This is the rubber match for a title, blah, blah, blah. God, it would go over 2 million pay-per-view buys easily. If it got 1.6 before without a title, now you're looking at people fighting at their natural weight. There's just so many ways they could twist this thing, but is that the right thing? No, I feel bad for everyone. I feel bad for Tony Ferguson. I feel bad for Habib. I feel bad for Holloway, who just wants his rematch with McGregor. I feel bad for Aldo, but they just bought the company for $4 million and having all these issues. Conor is their golden goose. He's their freaking golden boy who basically they're going to ride that trolley, that coattail, whatever, as long as they can, you know. I could definitely see that, and I would not be surprised if I saw a Diaz McGregor 3 for the title at 209. Now let's go back to the match. With the match, I've doubted McGregor numerous times. I thought Mendez would beat him. I thought Diaz was going to be too big for him. I thought Aldo was going to light him up. He's just proven me wrong every single time. And I even called Eddie Alvarez. I thought with the beatings that he got, you know, the damage that he got from Diaz, there was multiple ways I could see him winning, beating Alvarez, but there was different ways that I could potentially see Eddie Alvarez winning. And, you know, if he fought a similar fight like how he did Anthony Pettis, I threw out that comparison, that correlation. But that guy just is amazing, you know. He just proves me wrong every single time. I'm just curious, and I'm going to ask this question. So last fight, he came out looking like Pablo Escobar. This fight, he came out looking like Muhammad Ali. What is next? What's next for this guy? What Mongol is he going to go after? You know, it's first Pablo Escobar, now it's then it's Muhammad Ali. So who's next? Who he's going to try to imitate and make people just bring up stories and ideas and just talk about him? But no, he's amazing. He is so talented, so gifted. His counter striking is so on point, and he hits so hard, and his precision is, they just say like his activity punches is like so high up there. Basically, almost everything he throws, he lands. And when he's catching you completely off guard, that's what's hurting there. Everyone. But yeah, he's amazing. Like I said, he's proven me wrong several times. So I'm tired of it. I'm tired of going against him. I'm gonna go with him next time. He's my new ride or die.
Yeah. So there's plenty to unpack here, and Dean adding a new question on the end is even more. But I'm going to start with Lerone, what Lerone said, and the walkout and everything like that. It was amazing last night to be receiving live texts from Lerone from MSG. And if any of you haven't checked the AMP Radio Facebook fan page, I posted a video and a couple of pictures from where Lerone was sitting because he was nice enough to send them to me and he said I could use them. So check it out if you got it. He's got the whole walkout, pretty much the, not the whole walkout, but he's got a lot of the walkout of Conor McGregor. So let's move on to the fight. And as we've been saying on this show, Tony, there is no way that Conor McGregor is ever going to 145 again. There's no way he's ever defending that belt because look how much bigger he was than Eddie Alvarez, guys. Like, we said it already. He was huge compared to
Eddie Alvarez. Been talking about steroids.
Go ahead.
No way he's going to 45. And as I've said on the show before, if he doesn't defend that 45 title, it has an asterisk beside it. Yes, he's a two belt champ, and we've got to respect him for that. But if he doesn't defend it once, it's going to stand out for me and as something to talk about. What else? What else do we have to say about him? He looked amazing. And yes, Eddie Alvarez looked like a deer in headlights. He didn't know what to do. I think when Conor popped him that first time and he felt the power and he felt the precision of what Conor was throwing, Eddie went into panic mode and he tried to wrestle him. He tried to take him down a bit, but it didn't work. You know what I mean? Conor just shucked it off. And I guess being the bigger guy, that's something that you can do and just toss a little boy around. But yeah, I was disappointed in Eddie Alvarez's performance. I did pick him in this fight. And Tony, if you remember when we did Lerone's Man on the Streets segment, I can't remember what you called it, sorry.
The Lerone Report.
The Lerone Report, I love it. I said that was the one pick that I would go back on because that's how I was feeling. And just watching the performance that Conor put on, yeah, I mean, he's stellar. I mean, love him or hate him, you have to be able to he's been taking these guys out. You know what I mean? He's gotten all the toughest guys. He just defeated a champ at another weight class, which he probably should be fighting at, as I believe Dean stated. Again, what's next? Probably Nate Diaz. It makes the most money. He's about to have a child, as we know. He's asking for equal shares in the ownership. So, yeah, everybody's going to want to make the most amount of money. Showtime, do we want to see it? No, we probably don't want to see it. But you know what? All the dumbasses that are going to put that up to 2 million pay-per-view buys, they're going to buy it. They want to see it. And that lead-up to that fight is going to be out of this world. Let's touch on Khabib and what he said about McGregor. I thought that was phenomenal. Laughed my ass off about I'll take your chicken or whatever. It was a bit obscure, but I thought it was funny nonetheless. And he did do more than El Kakui did to sell that fight to us, right? I mean, that's if Nate Diaz wasn't around, that's the fight that we would want to see. It's definitely Nurmi versus McGregor because
Nurmi's
taking him down.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah. Nurmi's going to take him down, and geez, he dominated Michael Johnson in that fight. But that's it for me. What was the question that you asked, Dean? Because you said something else. There was another question on the end of that.
I said, so last fight against Diaz, he dressed up like Pablo Escobar. This fight, he dressed up like he was Muhammad Ali. What's he going to do next?
Who knows, but he's really thinking it through, right? He's really thinking it through. I think he was dressed as Joe Frazier, by the way, not Muhammad Ali.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, though, because I think Showtime was right on when he said, listen, I don't need to see this fight again. We've already seen it twice.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
But I'm in agreement with Dean on this one, Showtime. I think what a perfect – I know that he says – that Nate Diaz says that he doesn't care about the titles, that it's a pipe dream or whatever he said. But I think he would be interested in a big paycheck, and fighting for the title would be a good thing. What is next? Let's just get flat out into it. Even though we touched on it a bit, let's just get flat out into it. What is next for McGregor? And is he, in fact, Showtime, holding up two divisions right now? with the birth of his child and wanting to take some time off. And the fact, I mean, another question I'm going to pose to you after this, guys, is can McGregor really be a partial owner and still not have any controversy going there? I mean, he's already picking his fights as it is. Showtime. Is McGregor holding up two divisions right now?
Exactly. He's holding them up. And I feel bad for the, you know, Khabib, Jose Aldo, you know, even a guy like Frankie Edgar. I mean, just all these guys that, you know, could possibly be fighting for the belt, but Conor's going to hold the belt up for a year. So that was the big announcement that he's having a child. That's what the announcement was.
That's what the announcement is, that his girlfriend is pregnant, but they didn't go into whether someone else is pregnant.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was wondering what the big announcement was. But I just don't want the guy to hold up the division. I mean, relinquish one. I mean, which he's not going to do it. Like you said, it's going to take an army to get him to do it because he kind of selfish like that, which I don't know if I blame him, but I don't know. With me, I think I maybe. You fight in one, if you're going to go down, you got to go down and defend that 145 belt now. Just think how long it's been. You know, if you're not going to go down and defend the belt, relinquish it, you know. You just can't keep holding it up because you want to hold it up. But that goes back to why some people like Conor and some people don't, because of the favoritism that basically he and Ronda get. It's so obvious. And I don't like it, to be honest.
Dean.
I do think he's holding up two divisions, but you know, I think he should relinquish the featherweight title. You know, you already have an interim champion there. Let Aldo fight well-deserved Holloway. And then, you know, let him do what he has to do in lightweight. You know, he could go on if he's successful versus Khabib or Ferguson. He continues to fight at that weight. He's always going to go down in his history as, you know, holding two belts simultaneously. So he's going to be automatically Hall of Famer or legend. His name will go down forever, you know, as one of the greatest. If he loses, you know, obviously he'll get his rematch. And then if he lost that again, he could just easily go back and say, hey, I never got beat at featherweight. I could go back and fight for the title if he wants to make that cut. So... he could always jump, you know, kind of backtrack and then go back to that division because there's going to be that asterisk. And he could clearly say, and as popular as he is, and he's going to get even more popular, he could just be like, no one here beat me. I beat whoever the champion is. He beat Aldo. He beat Holloway. So the only one that could be a champion that he probably hasn't fought yet is Frankie Edgar. And you don't think Frankie Edgar wants that fight? You know, he wants that big money fight. He would die to give him that fight. So he could easily just continue his path on lightweight, see how that goes. If he's unsuccessful with going against maybe possibly the bigger guys, because Khabib's huge, then he could just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go back to featherweight because I am the true champion there. No one's ever beat me. And he could, because it's important for him to be a champion. He is not going to go too far, too long without trying to be a champion. So if he has his lightweight belt, defends it, loses it, he's going to get his rematch. If he loses that again, hypothetically, he's going to go back to featherweight, and because then his chance to fight again at lightweight at championship will be a while. So he'll go quickly right back to featherweight and say, hey, I deserve this. No one here beat me. I'll beat all you fucking guys' asses. I beat Aldo, knocked him out in 14 seconds. I beat Holloway with an injury and kicked his ass with a unanimous decision. No one in this division could beat me. I'm the king. Boom. Title rematch, or not rematch, but title shot. So it makes sense. He just let him relinquish the featherweight championship. Let him do what he got to. Let him handle his business in lightweight, and then if things work out, great. If things don't work out, he could always backtrack and go to featherweight and continue with his legacy. That's if he wants to.
Pro.
Tony, if you want to, I know we lost Showtime. If you want to call him back real quick to get him to sign off, he said that he just got disconnected. So we can do that if you want. Yeah, so he's holding up two divisions. absolutely, and you know my opinion on this, he needs to give up that 45 title. And as I said just in my rant earlier, that title reign will always have a scar on it, a mark on it. He's never going down to 45 again. He's trying to pick a fight with Tyron Woodley. I mean, can you imagine if Woodley would have won that championship fight and how quickly they would have put that Conor McGregor versus Tyron Woodley fight together so he could go for three bouts? I guarantee you that was something that he's going to be putting on his mind. And yes, guys, it's sad for everybody else that's a contender. It's sad for everybody else who's fighting their asses off, and they're not getting anywhere because fucking Conor McGregor has two belts, wants to go for three belts possibly. It's ridiculous. The UFC, we've said this before, Tony, the UFC created this monster, and now they're going to have to live with it. Now, they may have to give him, you know, 50-50 money-making, you know, shares in the company. And I guarantee you, if he does that, if he manages to pull that off, he is blazing a trail for every single other fighter, and perhaps the fighters bringing in representation for themselves so they can get a more even cut.
All right, guys, let's get Showtime back in, and then we'll close shop. A couple of things we want to get into, obviously, is since Prody has brought it up. Last thing is,
what?
Glad to have the man who put the show in time back. Showtime, before we end the show, thoughts on is there a need for to see McGregor T-Wood?
Yeah, I would like to see that fight. Now, that's a fight I think you really would see him get right. I just think you got to know your limitations now. Don't be crazy. And I think that would be crazy. Him or Wonder. Neither one of those guys, that would be a good fight for him.
Dean, do you want to see that?
I do not want to see him versus T-Wood. I would love to see him versus Wonderboy. I think T-Wood, I think T-Wood is a matchup nightmare for him, just because of T-Wood's strong wrestling base. He can match him with his speed. He's just a big welterweight. He fought a blown up, you know, lightweight up to welterweight. He's never fought a true welterweight. And with that wrestling pedigree, I think it would be a horrible matchup for him. However, with his skill set and the karate base and his stand-up, because he is a stand-up fighter, I think it would be a more interesting fight versus him versus Wonderboy.
Hey, guys, let's close on this. Did you guys get to watch Bellator at all? Showtime or Dean or Pro?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the Bellator card.
Were you surprised with Koreshkov getting pounded the way he was by Diego Lima?
Oh, I'm lying on that. I thought we were going back to the Phil Davis. No, I actually missed this past weekend's card. I was wanting to know what happened with that. Who won?
So Diego Lima TKOs Andre Koreshkov, who manhandled Ben
Douglas Lima. Correction.
Douglas Lima. Sorry. I said Diego. Sorry. You know who else said Diego? The guy that was doing the post-fight interview also said Diego. So that Mitrione called him Diego too. Sorry. Douglas Lima KOs, TKOs, right? Technically, right, Dean? Koreshkov in the third. And I thought that was one hell of a fight.
I didn't
Nothing, guys?
It,
I didn't
watch it, Tony.
Tony, I Darn. Was trying to catch up on it. I was trying to catch up on it on Saturday morning, and the Bellator app was not working at all. So there was no way for me to get into it and see the fights, which really depressed me because I wanted to see what had happened because it got the results and I wanted to see the fight. So Bellator, something's wrong with the app. Let's get that fixed in Canada, please, because I want to see that
fight.
How
about that? Every single time I talk Bellator... All right, guys. let's close shop. We lost Showtime again, but from we obviously thank Showtime. By the way, really good reviews, guys, with the Smack My Picks up that we had with Dean, and Dean actually really kicked rear end. We haven't had thoughts like that. Last time that someone really really took notice was Buffalo Blue. I mean, that was, Dean, that was excellent. Hold on, let's give him an applause for that, Dean. What the hell is going on with Dean and his picks?
Dean's always good.
Good Lord, Dean. Look at that.
I can't as detail as I want, but I was wrong.
Yeah, but the analysis was good. Yeah, the analysis was Dan Tomish, if that's even a word. All right, guys, let's.
That's why I have him on my show all the time, Tony, because he is great. So if you want to add him to the pick show, feel free.
Well, we have to pay him to
do that.
Dan Tom is the man. Dan Tom is awesome.
We have to beg him to do that. All right, guys, let's start closing shop. By the way, next week, guys, I will be at Chandler versus Henderson in San Jose at the SAP Arena. So how about that? And, guys, well, I have floor seats.
They had a poker
for all right, guys.
Make sure you hook up with Kendra in Northern Lights.
Well, Kendra and I will... we'll be at Sacramento, right, for UFC on Fox 22. Let's close shop, guys. Dean, the man with the cufflinks and the French cuffs, do you have a song of the week or a Twitter follow of the week? Because we can't follow you, unfortunately.
Song of the week. Let's see. We'll go in the New York thing. My favorite group, one of my favorite hip-hop groups, Gangsta Mass Appeal.
Ooh, I've never heard of that. I got to listen to that. Hit us with us one more time. What was it?
Gangstar. It's called Mass Appeal.
Wow. Gangstar Mass Appeal. Let's look that up. Dean, we thank you. And, boy, it's always great to have the great Dean. Prados, song of the week or Twitter follow of the week?
Yeah, sure. They'll be the twofold. Twitter follow of the week is at Clay Marseille. They're a band. They're a little bit different. They play strings and they have trumpets and stuff in their music. And the song of the week is called "Bright Stars Burning." It's from the 2013 record. One of my favorite tunes. You know, for the past couple of years, really enjoy them. Check them out if you can.
My Twitter follow of the week will be Automatic 253. Danny from Automatic 253. Follow, of course, Danny at Danny Auto. Follow Proteus at Proados. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow Dean whenever he calls because he's an all-star. Showtime is the greatest. And, of course, follow me at I'm DJ Tony because I really need the followers. And Song of the Week, guys, Boom, because McGregor did it by P.O.D., Payable on Death. Boom. By POD. Gentlemen, we're out of here. We thank Dean. We thank Showtime. We thank Lerone. And of course, my colleague, my pal, my friend, Prados. Proteus, we're out of here.
Thank you.
And like that.
Fuck off.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.